When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
It is Sunday, July 7th. I'm here with the Blueprint, Mr. Matt Morgan, back in HD. Matt, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. Yeah, it's good to be back. I missed you guys on Friday, but a lot's happened in just the last few days. Money in the Bank last night. A lot of news coming out of that show and kind of a mixed reaction, at least online. A lot of people upset that Drew cashed in and lost his cash in on the same show. So there's no men's Money in the Bank winner that's going to be running around teasing a cash in every week.
And could have done a lot of wonders for people like LA Knight, in my opinion, Uso, lots of others as well that were in that. Well, lots of others, but mainly LA Knight, in my opinion. You know,
I mean, but, I get why they did it because, you know, you got. Obviously, this regime, they're more into like the long-term booking. And if none of those guys are in the title picture and LA Knight, you know, it would look bad for him to try to cash in and then lose. So I think this way it doesn't become a crutch on their booking going forward.
I could see that. I could see that too. But then also the overly predictive nature of Punk, who, again, I'd like to think I'm one of his biggest fans in the universe. And I usually... co-sign everything this dude does in the ring and more importantly outside the ring, but it, just again it was so predictable that was going to happen last night. And also I thought it made Drew look stupid for wanting to take on two opponents at the same time versus him, who's been very intelligent so far in this character of his. Yes, there's the iteration of this character, Raj, that blows his top, blows his cool whenever CM Punk's involved, and it ends up becoming his Achilles heel, right? Yeah. I get that part of it too, but if he hasn't learned by now, it makes him look stupid. I thought it made him look dumb.
Yeah. Well, let's start off with that. The show opened with the Men's Money in the Bank match. A lot of crazy stuff. I thought this was a really solid Men's Money in the Bank match. I thought Chad Gable looked amazing. Carmelo Hayes looked great. You know, as far as doing the crazy spots, Carmelo Hayes, Andrade, and Chad Gable definitely kind of stole the show, and then Drew, LA Knight, adding that star power. What were your thoughts on the opener?
It was okay. It was good. It was good. Yeah. You know, we've been very spoiled by WWE, though, lately. Yeah. And spoiled by these arenas internationally they've been in as well with the live crowd reactions. Don't get me wrong, Toronto is always a great... Right, it might be. I've always loved wrestling in front of Toronto audiences. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it was good. As you would say, it was there.
I thought it was really solid. I thought it was a great way to get the show going. But I hear you. Like we've gotten so, and there's so many ladder matches, especially now since AEW does them all the time. NXT does them a lot too, so you just see them all over the place. That they kind of, you're kind of expecting more and more and more. So you had that at the end of the match. You saw Jey Uso getting close to getting the briefcase. McIntyre stopped him, threw the ladder in his face, and McIntyre got the win. So I think as soon as McIntyre got the win, a lot of people were expecting the cash in later in the night and CM Punk ruining it for him.
Yes, everything that we saw play out, everybody knew was going to happen once Drew won that case. I thought it would have made more sense to have Punk screw Drew getting the briefcase, give the briefcase to a Chad Gable or a LA Knight, and then you do something with that. If they okay, I get you don't want to book yourself in a corner by having LA Knight get another world title match and come up short like he did versus Roman Reigns.
Right.
And same for Chad Gable. He's not going to win the title, right? I get that. But there's other options you can do. I'm not saying other title belts with that briefcase, but there's other storylines you could do. You could put that up on the line in a match versus a completely different opponent, for example. We've seen them do that. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, so-and-so wrestles this guy and the winner gets the briefcase. We've seen that mm-hmm. before. Yeah. I don't know. I just thought there's a new layer they could have given to an LA Knight character that I think, yes, he's going to win the U.S. championship and that's going to be good. I just want to see him elevated because he sells a lot of merch for them. And I think they're missing the boat slightly with him.
Now I hear you with that. I mean, we've been talking about that forever, but he is definitely in a much higher position than he was a year ago.
He is.
So that part is good.
Yeah.
Next up, we had Sami Zayn defending the Intercontinental Championship against Bron Breakker. Sami obviously got a huge ovation. Now, I had predicted before the show on Twitter that I thought Sami would win, but I didn't think he was going to win clean. So that was that kind of surprised me.
Me either. I thought that I loved the match. The match itself was one of the best of the night, hands down. Yeah. What a great match! Great psychology, great storytelling. Sami is the best proverbial fight from underneath baby face walking God's green earth today. He just is. It's his special superpower, and he's so damn good at it. But he makes you believe. He's so good at getting you to emotionally invest in him. But at the same time, you don't pin Bron Breakker clean yet. No way.
Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised by that because, he's lost a couple matches on Raw by DQ. But, you know, this regime, they're not into doing quick title changes. You know, Sami.
No, I'm not saying Gunther, that. Yeah.
Right.
I don't think he should have won the Intercontinental title yet, to be fair. No.
Yeah.
Honestly, they shouldn't have booked this match. If this was the finish, I wouldn't have booked, again, themselves into a corner with Bron Breakker. Bron Breakker should be doing what Jacob Fatu is doing. And he is, to a lesser degree, of causing chaos and just freaking picking everybody up and nuking them and, you know, doing all his high spots that he could do athletically, showing his speed in the ring and his power. But he doesn't have to have matches for you to do that, to execute that. He can do run-ins. People could be doing promos. He interrupts them, starts beating their ass. There's lots of things he can do to look like, I don't want to say Brock Lesnar, but the next coming, if you will.
Right.
I know that's high praise, but I don't see why he can't be somebody that could be on that level one day.
Yeah. Chetil Maynot saying Sami has now beaten Gunther and Breakker clean. He has more credibility than 95% of the men's roster.
It's a very good call, actually, when he says it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could tell, like, Triple H sees Sami. You know, Vince still booked Sami. You know, he didn't bury Sami, but you know,
if this was Vince booking, Johnny Knoxville would have been included in the finish of this match somehow.
Yeah. Andrew Andrew, Braun saved Sami with that backflip off the guardrail.
He's right.
Yeah. I mean, Braun looks like he's been in there forever. He's great already. I kind of think this was supposed to be a three-way with Ludwig Kaiser and that Kaiser was probably going to take the pin, but Kaiser got injured. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I still would have put Sheamus in there, made it a triple threat. So you still get Sami winning, but you don't pin Bron Breakker.
Yeah.
I see why they don't do the DQ. They don't do DQs hardly at all anymore in PLEs, which I like.
Which we asked for. We did. We said, you know, that's true. We did ask for that.
They haven't done it since the Rumble when Logan Paul beat Kevin Owens by DQ. So good stuff. But yes, surprising. John Cena came out next, and at first he said he's officially announcing his retirement, so it made it sound like he was done at that point. And then he goes, you know, basically next year he's got a farewell tour. It's a lot of dates from what he was saying, and he said Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, WrestleMania. He pointed out that WrestleMania would not be his last match, so it goes on basically through the end of 2025. Okay. Said he wants to work like 30, 40 matches, which is more than he's worked, I think, in like the last 5 years combined. So,
got to be careful with that, with injury, just because John's a guy with these, with those big joints. He's always had these really big joints. Like, look at his ankles. People always like accuse him of being a steroid abuser and things like that. I'm like, he's always said he wasn't and he hasn't. But at the same time, if you look at his joints, I always tell everybody to look at their wrist size, their ankle size, anywhere your joints are. And you can see the thickness to carry that kind of mass. He was born to do that. That's why his body was designed to hold that much muscle mass. Uh-huh. But when you carry that much muscle, am I frozen?
No.
When you carry that much muscle mass, Raj, you also risk high level injury potential more than somebody without that much muscle mass, believe it or not. So I am worried. Can he get it done? Can he do all those dates without getting hurt? And my prayer is going out that that does not happen. And he gets to ride off to the sunset the way he wants to, because he deserves it. And then some. If anybody's ever deserved to write their own ending, it is absolutely John Cena.
Yeah, and hopefully they just don't have him get beat over and over like they have been for the last 5 years, where he gets beat and they do nothing with the guy that beats him right after. You know, Solo Sikoa beat him, and it's not until like 8 months later they really start pushing him.
Austin Theory should have been pushed to the moon after that.
Yeah, I think he needs to start getting wins again, start getting singles wins, and who knows, maybe another run at the title. Beats Ric Flair's, you know, the record that WWE has for Ric Flair.
What's your opinion in the chat? Do you think fans in the chat, people watching right now, do you think most, or do you want to see John Cena break Ric Flair's all-time title wins? Very curious.
Yeah. Akshay Kumar bringing up, if we see Cena having one last title run on the way out. What do you think?
I Hunter is such a Ric Flair mark too, though, right? He grew up idolizing that guy. So I don't know, with Hunter's pen, could he be the one that does that? But at the same time, I could also see Rick telling Hunter and the company, guys, this is the guy to break it. Come on. This is, you know, this is John. And he loved it. I know that he loves John too, to death.
Yeah.
So I can see it one more time. Yes, I can.
Yeah, in the chat, everyone is saying yes. Anurad, yes. Jose Soralo, yes. Actually, okay. Kamaria, 1,000% break it. He's the guy to do so. Samantha saying yes. I wanted to see the record broken. Cool. Peter Bahi pointing out that Flair has won more than 16 world titles.
He's correct. Yes,
yeah, so we're going by what WWE is recognizing in their books. It would be the record. Stephen Camp, everyone is saying. Ali saying Cena hasn't won the IC. That's more important than number 17, in my opinion. I don't think so. I don't think when they refer to Cena, they're going to say former WWE and Intercontinental Champion. It's
Woo Wings. That's funny, sir.
Yeah. So how do you book Cena's last match?
Oh, gee, thanks, Rush. No big deal.
Not putting you on the spot or anything.
That's gonna be a good one. I don't know, is it, because we don't know. John plays everything so close to the vest with his very, I love him to death, I consider John a friend, but he does give lots of very rehearsed, you could tell a lot of rehearsed answers publicly that are made to come off like he's on the fly thinking and so sporadic with what he's saying, and it's not, it's always very, in my opinion, prematurely thought through, pre-rehearsed, down to the facial expressions, in my opinion, with a lot of these interviews he does and what he gives. So I don't know who he truly likes there. I don't know who he truly believes in as a talent in real life, John Cena's brain. I don't know. Because is it an AJ again? I don't know. It's got to be somebody that can give him a great match. And if you're telling me he's doing 30 or 40 of them, that's a lot. And I'm very worried about that.
Yeah, I've got to assume a lot of those will be house shows.
Yes. Yeah, where he could play grab ass and enter, at the same time entertain the hell out of an audience, because he's very good on house shows.
Yeah,
I also love working him on house shows, not to be lazy, but because he can get the crowd even more into our matches with his freestyling at the time and making fun of us in the middle of a match. And because he was doing the Dr. Thugonomics, director of Thugonomics gimmick at the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's anybody who he wants to be. I know it's a sellout, like a cheesy answer, but I think it's too hard to predict who it could be. Is it Brock? Is it a Brock coming back? It'd be two old guys going at it. I don't want to see that. Is it an Orton because of their past? I don't want to see that. I'm sure we will see it, but not as it's finished, not as ending match. It's got to be him passing the torch to who that next big thing is going to be.
Yeah. Or do you have him win his last match? I mean, you don't see that often.
And then what? Put a title up for contention in like a tournament the next day?
Well, you can have him lose the title earlier. Like he wins it, loses it, and then his last match he puts over a Bron Breakker or someone like that.
John's not going to go out with a win. I know him well enough, at least for that component. No way. He'll put the person over for sure.
Yeah. Stellar Justin Lopez with the $9.99 super chat saying, John Cena getting his 17th world championship is something I wholeheartedly endorse, and I think he should be the one to beat Gunther for it. Beats Gunther at WrestleMania and then loses it at SummerSlam.
I don't hate that. We just came up in the era where John was always winning that damn title. It was always on him.
Yeah.
You know, and I like where WWE is today, but maybe enough years have passed where you guys have all, you know, aren't stained on your brain as much as the rest of us are of nonstop. It was Batista or Cena with the damn title around their waists all the damn time.
All right.
And slash Orton.
Yeah. And Jose is asking, should Cena turn heel for his last run?
I wish, but no, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and fans wouldn't boo him now. He's just got way too much equity, you know? All right, up next, we had Trish Stratus, who was hosting the show. That was earlier, sorry. Up next, we had Damian Priest defending the World Championship against Seth Rollins. There was this one spot. It was a pretty good match. You could tell Seth is still a little injured. He was still kind of favoring that knee. It's a little slower than usual, but a good match. And
that's what you saw? You saw him wrestling differently?
A little bit. You didn't notice that?
No. I got to go back and watch it.
Okay.
We watch it again then.
But still, I thought he was solid. There was this one spot where Seth Rollins hit a superplex and then the Falcon Arrow, and the referee counted one, two, went down for three. Damian Priest didn't kick out. Looked terrible. You can't blame the referee in that spot. So Triple H later in the press conference said he just didn't kick out. And the word I got, the reason why he didn't kick out was he suffered a stinger. And so he was just rocked, you know, for a
few. I was going to say, I watched it back because I knew you were going to talk about this today. I saw a couple people ask us on Twitter already. And one of the things I saw, if you watch it in slow-mo, when he hits that last bump before the pin attempt, watch his right hand where Seth's foot is. It like electrocutionally, like I just made up a word, but it looks like he's electrocuted with his hand. You got to look very closely at it. And it reminds me of the stinger I suffered in a house show match in Reading, Pennsylvania, getting clotheslined over the top rope right after Big Show did. And Big Show was on my team that night, and the ropes were shaking so hard as I flip over the top rope, the second rope clipped me in the back of my head because the ropes were shaking so hard from him. It knocked me off the ring apron and spiked me on my head on the pavement or the padded floor. And I'll never forget that feeling where you cannot feel, you're paralyzed. Mine was for like 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So that you don't know what's going on with you. You're out of it. You're completely in loopy land from just those moments. So I was very happy to see him at least be able to come back and finish that match. Cause I thought the same thing, that was a stinger.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the word I got. From people in the company, from
watch his right hand again, folks. Again, if you go back on Peacock and watch it, stop it, take a picture, you know what I mean? Whatever you got to do to see it, you'll see what I'm talking about. The right hand specifically,
yeah. And you could tell, like Damian was still a little off after he came back in the match because when he took the claymore was just off, he didn't seem 100%. So, but it seems like when you got your stinger, were you fine right away?
I had to take
days, weeks.
I had a concussion along with that stinger.
Oh,
so because of that, they made me do the concussion protocol stuff. I couldn't come back for a couple weeks. I lost my spot in an upcoming. They were having a Royal Rumble, but on SmackDown.
Yeah,
and they gave Bob Holly my spot because I was hurt. I'm so pissed at that because I thought I was fine. Mm-hmm. But jeez. Whatever.
So anyway, Drew McIntyre's music hits, runs down for the cash in, and then CM Punk makes the run in without any music or anything. I think he came in from the crowd. Just beat the holy hell out of Drew McIntyre with the chair. Just walloped him over and over again. Then nailed him with the belt. And Damian Priest beat Drew McIntyre to retain the title. And Drew McIntyre's Money in the Bank is already gone. So
And Seth can't wrestle for the title anymore.
Yeah, Seth can't. Well, he can't wrestle Damian Priest for the title.
Well, Damian has it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you saw Seth.
That's a nice little layer for Seth, though, and Punk. I like the heat between Punk and Seth as another storyline maybe in the future after the Drew Punk is done.
Yeah. And the thing I love with Seth, when he did that stare down with Punk, Seth looks like he's really in real life is totally pissed and can't stand the guy.
Yeah, so, he does. It's really good. That's why I do like it. I like the natural animosity that he seems to have for him because it works.
Yeah.
And I like Punk's comebacks to everything where he says stuff to him.
Yeah. So at SummerSlam, it's going to be Gunther against Damian Priest. You know, Triple H, he doesn't like playing hot potato with the title that much. You know, they did a couple title changes at WrestleMania, but
what do you do here?
I know.
Because I don't see Gunther losing. And we all know he's a future heavyweight champion.
Yeah. But if Gunther wins, then where does he go? Because the hottest feuds are going to be with Punk on Raw. You know, with Punk and Drew and then Punk and Rollins.
It'd be the same thing, the same situation that we find Damian Priest at, right? This the number one issue right now is Punk and Drew McIntyre, even with Damian Priest being the champion on that show, right? So I don't think it matters who the champion is because they're still going to be subservient to, you know, Punk and Drew as the number one angle on that show.
Right. So, I thought the match was good. And Rollins, you know, he adds a lot of star power being back. And then Punk.
Yes, he does.
He's still not cleared. So SummerSlam, it's not 100% that it's going to be him and Drew at SummerSlam. But if he gets cleared, that's the match. Otherwise, it's going to probably happen at the next pay-per-view.
I feel like he is cleared and they're just being super duper duper top secret protective with him right now. Mm-hmm. He kind of alluded to that a little bit in his press conference afterwards when the show was over. Yeah. And he was, you know, he seemed to be honest when he said that he kind of liked it. Yeah. First, you don't like that. Once you're cleared, you want to go. But I like the extra steps of precautions they're taking here just to make sure everything is where it needs to be. And I take the proper time to come back.
Yeah.
And I do think they'll face up in SummerSlam.
Yeah. Big Time Baxter saying, Raj and Matt, a lot of people wanting Gunther to win the world championship. Do you see him leading Raw against Monday Night Football, and can he carry the show?
Well, when you put it that way, I mean, no disrespect to anybody. Nobody can, you know, lead anything against Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football is a monster. But I know what you're saying. Who gives us the best chance, all right, on Raw? He doesn't have enough star power is what you're saying. I see what you're saying in that regard. I love Damian Priest as champion, and the championship is supposed to be making him. As great as Gunther is, I'm still going to argue once he wins that world title, that title's still going to be making him, all right, as that hopefully one day crossover star that a mainstream wrestling fan will eventually know who he is. I mean mainstream. I mean the guy that's not watching every week or every month, maybe watches once a year and just on Instagram. You know, that mainstream type of fan, which is who WWE is mainly after, families, right? So I do think he'll get there without question. I think the title will help Gunther get there. But versus Monday Night Football, I mean, one could argue it could be Punk. It could be a Drew. It could be a Seth Rollins, the Codys of the world, right? The upper echelon main event talents. I still don't think it does anything to put a major dent in Monday Night Football.
Yeah,
I think not. Methuselah could come on the screen, you know, Moses could part the Red Sea on Monday Night Raw, and it will not put a dent in Monday Night Football.
Yeah, it definitely won't put a dent, but does Raw go down as much as he usually does against football?
I know what he's saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but it'll be interesting to see. And you know, Raw staying on USA through the end of the year, moves to Netflix. They're really teasing that it's going to be edgier on Netflix.
I'm so excited about that. I cannot wait to see what they do with that. All that spectrum. They have such a wider spectrum now to be able to tell stories, like good in-depth stories. We've been getting great in-depth stories, very layered stories that I love. But
yeah,
they're going to be able to go even deeper with more detail because they're going to be able to curse. I'm not saying I pop every time somebody curses, but when somebody smacks you in the face, you're cursing, okay? You're not saying, hey, I challenge you tonight to a duel. You know, there's realism sometimes when the time is needed to curse.
Yeah.
And not overly done like they do in AEW, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, where it means something, at the same time, what can you do with the actual physicality component on what's available to them without having to worry about, right? Because they're not going to have to worry about rating, like a PG, PG-14, whatever the hell it is, rating anymore, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, they still, on Netflix, they'll put a TV MA or a 14 or whatever. But yeah, they don't have the same confinements as with cable television.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
You mean when they start chanting, holy shit, and Fox decides to black the screen out?
Oh, my. It feels like they just started doing that this year. Like before they would just bleep it out or not bleep it, but you know, mute sometimes the audio. Now they black out the screen, which is, I'm like, it just takes you out of it.
Do you think it's nuts because of the bigger picture that they're, you know, they're losing them?
Yeah. That's gotta be part of it. You know, this, it's only on for a couple more months.
Salty feelings. Do you think that's why?
Well, I mean, it was Fox's decision. They didn't want to match the offer. So, yeah, but it'll be interesting. I think that first episode when they do it, I almost think you book a stadium. Do like Toronto, have John Cena's first match back, be there, have The Rock come back, make it a huge show.
And, for Netflix?
Really kick it off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And show the difference maybe of what you can do with that network that maybe we're not thinking of that they're going to find.
Yeah. Because this says, I mean, it opens it up to a much wider audience because cable is dying. Netflix is growing. It makes all the sense in the world.
80% of the world, he said, the globe.
Yeah. The women's Money in the Bank ladder match was next. Kind of a rough start, but then I thought it turned into just an awesome match. I mean, they did some insane stuff. Chelsea Green, Tiffany Stratton setting up a table outside. At the finish, it looked like Chelsea Green was going to get the briefcase.
Yeah.
Tiffany Stratton came up, pushed her off. Chelsea Green flew to the outside, threw the two tables. Just some insane stunts in this match, but there were a lot of botches in the first few minutes, but then it turned into a really good match. I thought it was one of the better Women's Money in the Bank matches that they've had.
As a friend to both Matt and Chelsea Green, a family friend, very beyond proud of her and that performance she put in last night. There was a couple times she stole that, like the attention during that match, and quite frankly, the show at times. She did such a great job. She continues to blossom, get better and better. And again, it's all centered around that character. So yeah. when she's doing things like the bump she took at the end, that just adds more wrestling credibility to her. On top of that, very, very funny and good in-depth character she's playing. I'm so proud of her. But obviously, this was the right call, Tiffany Stratton. Without question, that made total sense. And happy she won. And I'm now, see what I'm saying? She gets to bling this thing up, which I did predict that she would do on our show on Friday night if she won. But so did everybody else. And then what's she going to do with that briefcase now? It adds another layer to her character and how you can now book her. This is why, again, I think that was a swing and a miss. And Drew win it in the same night and lose it in the same night, and where it could have been given to another character that could have really used that extra layer to their character and their storytelling, and then, you know, see where they are from there. Because this world championship, in my opinion, Raj, on Monday Night Raw, it's not like just 100% it's not like Cody having it or Roman Reigns having it, where you know they're not losing it for a long time. It's between Damian Priest or Drew McIntyre, maybe a Punk, definitely Gunther. So between those four, maybe Seth Rollins thrown in there as five, every one of those guys can lose the title, in my opinion. I know they're not doing hot potato booking, but they could lose it tomorrow and nothing bad's going to happen to the show.
I see what you mean, but I think Tiffany, there's a lot of great stuff you could do with her. It's with Chelsea Green, I think it just goes to show how important character work is. And we've seen it with Chelsea forever when she was doing the bride gimmick.
She did TNA. That perfectly, by the way. That was great work she was doing. Remember
the
TNA?
Yeah, she was awesome. And so you saw it from there, like she could do it. And she's given the chance to run with the ball and she's killing it. So and you she see isn't. It with the crowd responses. They're loving her.
Of course they are, because what do we always say on this show? Characters gotta come first.
Yeah. Chatil is saying, if they didn't waste the men's money in the bank, they could have given Chelsea the briefcase. She's so entertaining. I mean, Tiffany will be great with it too.
Yeah, Tiff will do a great job with it. What is he saying, that they should, that she should have ran in and won the men's?
I think they're saying since he feels that they wasted the men's, so they should have had Chelsea win the women's. But you had Tiffany, I think.
Yeah, Tiffany's definitely somebody that's gonna be winning the championship.
Yeah. Peter Bahi noting that match was way better than the men's Money in the Bank match.
Except for a few spots in the men's, okay, but even no, I did like the women's slightly better actually.
Yeah. And then finally, we had the main event, the Bloodline against Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens. They brought up that, you know, Kevin Owens' mom's been in the hospital since I believe last Monday, and he still made the show, made SmackDown, obviously. Hoping all the best for Owens and his family, but still went through this match, and another really strong match. It ended with Solo Sikoa pinning Cody Rhodes, which makes a ton of sense given that they're going with Cody versus Solo at SummerSlam. What'd you think?
I wanted, obviously, Jacob to win the match, but I see what you're saying as far as, again, storytelling, we talk about on the show so much. And how important it is, and obviously setting up Solo versus Cody, he has an on-screen pin on the world champion. Mm-hmm. They did do a good job. I'm starting to get worried there in the very beginning when I saw Jacob selling a little bit, and he took the Randy Orton's DDT. I'm like, he better nip up. He better freak out. He better Hulk up. Don't make him sell this WWE. What the hell? Before I can even get that out of my mouth. Samoan Werewolf starts standing up and no selling it and beating on his nose. Friggin' awesome. They're booking him to perfection so far. I've never been this excited about how they brought somebody into this company that we've all been wanting to see than this in quite a long time. I can't remember the last time. Dead serious. Even when they brought Cody back. Yeah. I'm more excited about this with how they've been making Jacob look so far. He was a killer in that match. Little bit more song than I would have done for him, but at the end of the day, people don't remember that. They remember him being a killer in that match, him no selling Orton's DDT, him no selling other things in that match, his athleticism, and he's the reason why they won. He's the reason, and he was super athletic on top of it with that finish, went to the top rope, did his flying double Wolanda, whatever the hell you call that thing, onto Cody, which was athletic looking as hell. And yeah. Solo takes advantage of it and gets the win. But let's be clear, Jacob is the one who won that match for the Bloodline.
Yeah. Yeah, and to your point, I thought he was booked the strongest in this match. And when I'm watching the match, I want to see Cody against Jacob.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Me too. Way more than no disrespect to Solo. He's doing right. much better. He's improving. He wasn't given an easy position to pull off, and he's doing better at it. He is. Yeah. But again, Jacob would have been a much better tribal chief, but that's just me.
Yeah, and I thought there was one spot in the match where they had Solo taking all their finishers, right? He took Orton's finish, Cody Rhodes' finish. And I felt like that should have been done by Tama Tonga, because Solo's going into, you know, SummerSlam main event, then he's got Roman Reigns on the horizon. Just felt like that spot should have been given to somebody else, but maybe I'm just nitpicking.
Yeah, it's... It's just such an exciting storyline. I was very disappointed with it in the beginning because it's like, you know, even Punk said, what do you call it? Like the Jabroni Bloodline.
B-team Bloodline, or something.
The minor league, whatever he said. Bloodline. But once it got Jacob, I'm serious, it changed. And Tama as well. Tama Tonga was a very big get for them. His facials, you see him changing gears in that match. I don't know if everyone saw that. When he got tagged in during the heat component of that match where the baby faces are selling, and he was going into gear with just punching a walloping as fast as he could, making these crazy noises out of his mouth while he's doing it. Just super intense. And again, good character development with his character. They have to do more with Tonga Loa. You could tell that he's like the guy on the outside, right? He's kind of the weak link of the Bloodline, even though he's physically the biggest. They can do more to do him some favors. They need to put him in some type of squash match or something in a singles match, just where he gets that stank off him, because I feel a little stank on him right now between him and the others, him versus the other three, at least.
Yeah, I agree. But the Bloodline storyline, they're doing an amazing job. That promo that Solo cut on SmackDown, I thought was awesome.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I should have put that over. You're right. You're right, Raj. That was awesome.
And man, the way they been building this, it feels like Roman Reigns' return is one of the most anticipated there's been in a long time.
What do you do, though? Do you bring him back at SummerSlam, or is that still too early? What do you think?
I think you do, because it's in the stadium, you know, and they're trying to make it a WrestleMania type event, you know.
So if they're doing that, though, they're not going to announce he's coming back, right?
No,
it'd be a surprise, right?
Yeah, I think it would be like how Brock, you know, after they had Roman and Cena at SummerSlam a couple of years ago, and then Brock came in as a surprise at the end. Do something like that, and fans will just go nuts. So it'll be great.
Yeah, it'll be big time. I would like them to hold off a little bit longer, but then again, they can put the Bloodline in singles matches too. I'd like to see them do that a little bit more, especially Jacob. Just start having Jacob just sawmill everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And keep Roman and Jacob kind of apart as much as you can. Cause I almost feel like Roman versus Jacob would be a better WrestleMania match than
I
Roman
do too.
Versus Solo.
I do too. But what's good now is that fans can't stand Solo in this role. They hate it so much, dude. He's getting like Dominic. He's getting Dominic heat a little bit now.
Yeah.
They're booing the piss out of him. So for that reason, I can see why they'd go with him. But at the end of the day, I think it'd be a much better match with him and Jacob, especially just let Jacob go.
Right.
Full tilt.
Yeah, I agree. So overall, what do you think of the pay-per-view?
I liked the ending. Wasn't a fan of the what they did with Drew in the briefcase scenario. I'm just not. So, C+, comparing it to the other PLEs they've been doing. B-, C+.
Oh, wow. I was going to go a solid B+. You know, and I think Cena's announcement added a lot to it. So, anyway, good stuff, and now we're headed to SummerSlam with a bunch of momentum, so should be good. Real quick, the ratings this week. NXT, it did 542,000 viewers and a 0.15 18 to 49 rating. It's the lowest in a year. So that tells you it was, you know, the holiday week. a lot of people, because it's one thing if it's consistently doing this number, but the fact that it's so kind of out of the norm for what the show's been doing, it's the holiday. As for Dynamite did 688,000 viewers, a 0.23, 18 to 49. But with Dynamite, this is kind of what they've been doing. So it was the holiday, it was 3rd of July, but at the same time, this rating is kind of their average of what they've been doing. So I don't know. We'll have to wait another week to see, but
yeah,
usually you have a big drop on the 3rd of July. So we'll see where that goes.
Hey, on Friday, one of the other things before we go, I did say to our folks that watch our show, our friends, that a lot of them always ask me questions about like how I started, how to get my training and things like that. I always tell everybody Ohio Valley Wrestling, right? It came up through Tough Enough 2, luckily got picked to be signed to a 3-year contract at the time. And they sent me to Louisville, Kentucky, where I got to meet the Louisville Lip himself, James E. Cornette, who him and Nightmare Danny Davis and Hustler Rip Rogers helped train me, along with Dr. Tom Pritchard in the beginning of that training. But the most training I got was honestly from Jimmy. Not just from the in-ring component, but I was the promo component. Mm-hmm. And I always tell everybody, like, especially when I was coming up, like people would be like, when I was coming up to WWE and onto their TV show, SmackDown, or the pay-per-view I debuted at, or whatever have you. You'd hear a couple of guys in the back, and I'm like, oh, I'm glad you're finally up here so you can stop doing that 1970s shit with you, Matt. And I'm like, go back and like, but that's how you book a big man. Like you book a big man who's especially was as green as me. Yes, if he's not ready to be in the ring yet, where he shows his ass, you can't unshow your ass once you do. Okay, we start having deer in the headlight looks. You don't know what you're supposed to be doing for your next spot and things like that. You set your big man up for success. And like, so when they pulled me up to TV and they put me in like a Team Lesnar, and immediately, and this is when Jimmy was not watching SmackDown or Raw because he was booking OVW, and that's the only thing he really cared about was that show because it was very successful and shit. It was, I know I make fun of the Observer all the time, but like, Observer's wrestling show of the year quite a few times. I believe 2 or 3, if I remember correct. Because of his old school booking that still, I would argue, worked today. What we saw from Jacob Fatu on SmackDown, that's James E. Cornette booking 101. Legit, 101, smashing a big freak of nature over everybody's head with, you know, pretty not simplistic, but easy to understand, easily digestible move sets, or more important, the facial expressions, the camera shots of that big man, and intense athlete and things like that. And play to your strengths and hide their weaknesses. So, like, when they put me up on SmackDown, he did watch that, and he's like, I can't believe these idiots would put you with the only other guy taller than you in the whole company with Big Show. This makes no sense. This is stupid. And I remember being like, oh, I was really excited because I just got pulled up. I'm on Team Lesnar and I'm in Survivor Series, biggest team in history for Survivor Series, whatever. Being a mark, right? But at the same time, he was right. You know, that is not how you bring a big in. You bring a big in, and he was right. You don't put me and Big Show in the same frigging arena for 1 year, let alone on the same show. Mm-hmm. And that goes for any big guy that you're going to be having money invested in. And they did. Like, I didn't forget my developmental contract was pretty high. But then when I got on the road, like, they kept it high. And I remember when I got sent back down to OVW after Brock wanted to go to the NFL, Nathan Jones quit. So my storyline was kind of in nowhere. I got to go back to OVW again, where now I finally got to be a heel and learn how to work in the ring as a heel and call a match on the fly, do an hour Broadway match, believe it or not. But more importantly, my promos kept improving and improving and improving thanks to Jim's belief in me. And he would just give me the bullet points at one point. And that's when I started getting confidence in myself. And when he would tell me, he's like, look, you have the ability to tell a story verbally. You got to keep doing it. You're an intelligent kid. Just keep working on your facial expressions in the mirror and things like that at home. And he helped me a long way with my promos, a very, very long way. And again, without him, I don't have this house I'm living in right now. I don't have our two vehicles out in that driveway. I don't, you know, there's so much I don't have because I wouldn't have without him and his tutelage and his honesty and always believing in me. And the biggest component of that, I'd argue, is when I did get released from WWE, or didn't resign, I should say. They didn't resign me. Same thing, in my opinion. TNA. TNA was not gung-ho in wanting to get me. Jeff Jarrett was, but that was about it. And so just Dutch Mantel, and especially Jimmy, would consistently keep bringing my name up, Larry Zbyszko as well. Until finally they gave me a try, and then they're like, okay, we got something here. And they put me with Jimmy on TV, which was a big favorite to me at the time, because I was in, I just had come out of rehab, and I had my first year of sobriety right when I debuted. I only had a few months of sobriety, actually, when I debuted at TNA. I think it was 2007. I got my sobriety in 2006. So I was put in a perfect role with Jimmy Cornette as his bodyguard, where I don't have to take any bumps, really. I'm not wrestling in any matches that first 8 months of television on TNA. Again, so not only he doesn't even know that part of the story, but he was a big part when you think about it. Get me to that company, get me that character where I was able to take time off and not have to wrestle, but still get paid every week and be his on-air bodyguard without bumping and wrestling, meaning I'm not going to be addicted to painkillers because I'm not going to be getting hurt and need them, right? Mm-hmm. So it gave me that much more time to stay sober, where now I'm 18 years sober. So he's been a huge part of where I'm at with everything I've been able to have here in my life, my son's life, and my wife's life. I'll always be Team Cornette because of it.
And I know you keep in touch with a lot of people in the business. Do you still keep in touch with Jim, or do you get ever talk to him?
Stacy probably a little bit more. Sin was whatever was James' wife, and his heel managers when I was in OVW, and I used to have always awesome storylines against the Disciples of Sin. That's what Sin's gimmick was. She was the manager of them, so definitely talk to her all the time. And yeah, I just I'm not on Twitter as much as I probably should, but I'm not good at keeping contact with anybody unless they text me or call me, right? Then I'll mm-hmm. reply back and stuff like that. But I don't try to go out of my way to keep talking to anybody in wrestling unless there's, you know, something that I see came up and maybe I need to congratulate them or wish them luck on something or send my love or something like that.
Peter Bahia has a question for you with the $5 super chat. Thank you, Peter. Matt, do you feel fulfilled in your pro wrestling career by being a success in TNA, or do you still have those what if moments by not being a WWE star?
No, I'll never feel not negatively. I don't feel fulfilled. I shouldn't say it like, you know, I'm disappointed. Of course, I'm disappointed that I was never able to reach my potential, but that's probably just as much on me as it is anybody else. You know, yes, when you have a 7-foot guy that can speak and pretty jacked and shredded at the time, you could find something better for them to do than stutter, obviously. Come on, let's just be honest here, folks, and call a spade a spade. But when timing is everything, and when you come into a roster that is about to feature John Cena and Batista and Randy Orton, and they're the ones that are on that come up, they're the superstars of tomorrow today. And then you have the rest of Brock Lesnar. You have us that, in my opinion, a lot of us fell in between the cracks that could have been, in my opinion, major stars in that company. But that's why timing is very important. And in my opinion, they should not have pulled me up when they did. They should have. Jimmy kept begging them, get him more seasoning. Let him stay here. Let him stay here for a couple of years, you know, and then you'll have yourself that. Because Jimmy was booking me. So you go back and watch my films at OVW. But folks, he's a future WrestleMania moment waiting to happen. You know, like as I'm walking to the ring, like that's how he booked me as an upcoming Undertaker opponent. And he had Kane come down and wrestle me. All these great things that he did for me to tell that story, but then they pulled me up way prematurely. Bro, they pulled me up without me working a single minute in their ring as a heel. All I did was work a year of babyface in OVW, and then they pulled me to TV on SmackDown as a heel with no experience as a heel whatsoever.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things like what ifs, yes, no question, to answer his question a little bit better, but at the same time, some of that's definitely on me. Most of it should be. I believe we create our own destiny. Yes, the person with the pen does matter, even though sometimes they act like it doesn't. Of course it matters. I can't go and take a pen, put it to the paper and say, Matt Morgan wins the world championship. Matt Morgan beats Brock Lesnar. Matt Morgan beat, like, come on. We don't have the power to do that.
Right.
And then the argument would be, well, then shouldn't you put yourself in that scenario where the fans make it indisputable that the person with the pen should write that? Yes. And that's where it is on us. The onus is on us as the performer. But he also asked about the TNA run. I'm very proud of that TNA run. I got to headline 7 pay-per-views with that company. I got to wrestle some greats. Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Kurt Angle. That's my best match of all time versus Kurt Angle, Bound for Glory. 20-minute match. Yeah, very, very proud of that run. But I do feel a little fulfillment because I was coming back to WWE after my TNA run was done. And my son was born and changed my entire galaxy. Until I now became an elected official here in my small city of Longwood, Florida. And yeah, I have a nonverbal autistic son that many of you could probably hear in the background in the pool right now, hooting and hollering in there, waiting for me to get out there with him right now and my wife. But I wouldn't change anything for it. I would not trade anything. Hey, Matt, would you want to be the world champion? But you'd have to give up, you know, having your family and your home and where you live and being an elected. Hell no. God, no. No. No, that's all Marky type of behavior where, you know, you think you're the shit and you forget this is a work,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
And that little boy you hear in the background, if you don't know if you guys could hear him or not, that ain't no work. That's the real deal. And I'm blessed to have him. Yeah.
Yeah. Peter Bahi saying, we're all proud of you, Matt.
Thanks,
and,
Pete.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously today, I want to let you get to your son. So obviously today was out of our regular time slot. So take a second. We're getting close to 5,000 subscribers. Please like this video. Please hit subscribe. Hit that notification bell. It really helps us a lot. And every time we hit that kind of a milestone, it does help us with the YouTube algorithm. I think we're coming up on a year of doing this podcast. And we have all you guys to thank for the growth of the show. And so really, we do appreciate you taking the time to hit like, subscribe, and keep supporting the show.
Please, guys, thank you all. We appreciate you all to death. You guys are the best. Hopefully you're reading the comments. Raj and I respond to a lot of them. I did over the weekend. Keep putting more questions in there, and I'll keep answering them.
Yeah, if you have any questions about Matt's time in OVW, please put it in the comment section. And any other questions you have about the show, put it in the comment section. We'll reply to those. Thank you guys again. We'll be back Friday at our normal time. And also, if anything breaks during the week or there's an interesting topic that comes up, we'll jump in. So thank you guys again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.